All right, so Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to look at, again, just one verse there. That doesn't mean it's the only verse we're going to look at. We had quite a few. We're going to make our way through this. I'm going to try not to talk too awful fast, but I've got a lot by way of notes to share with you. So this week's study is on the topic, stop lying. Stop lying. I know probably about a month ago, a month and a half ago, we covered a lesson that dealt a great deal with telling the truth as well. But in God's providence, as we're going through Ephesians, here we are again. So I don't know if this is for you. I don't know if this is for me or if this is for all of us. So the title of this study, Stop Lying, was meant to be a shock to you and me. But it's also to remind us that this is a command given to us by God. And many of us have unfortunately faced the consequences of lying. But for some of us, it hasn't stopped us from doing it and doing it and doing it. Why is that? So we're going to talk about that tonight. So let's begin by looking at the origin of sin. First thing, it didn't begin with God. All right, we know that God is completely holy. God is without sin. As a matter of fact, God cannot sin. We find this in a couple places. Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." So that's a great, great verse for us to hang our hat on and say, hey, if God promised us eternal life, he can't lie, we have it. Amen? Also in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, the writer of Hebrews says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. And there again, he's talking about the promises of God. So God is not the one that began the process of lying. Now, some of you would say, okay, well, if God did not start it, how is it that lying is even possible? Okay, so in order for God to create us free will beings, he had to give us the ability to do things that were contrary to his will. Otherwise, we're simply robots. Robots don't love. Robots don't generate a sincere love for anything. That's just, they're programmed to do that. God created us with a desire to love him, to know him, and we can turn to him or we can turn from him. And when we turn from him, it certainly includes lying. So it did not begin with God. It did begin with the devil. We believe in a literal devil because Jesus did. The Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted by the devil. Many of the New Testament writers address the devil using the term devil, Satan, deceiver, and many other such names. It's found as well as in the Old Testament, where we're going to look at the first instance of the devil lying. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, God is talking to Adam. Eve has not been created yet. He's talking to Adam. And he says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil," this is Genesis 2:17. "You shall not eat it, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Notice God says, in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. So this is talking about something other than immediate physical death. There was a spiritual death that Adam and Eve experienced as they partook of this fruit that God had forbidden them to take. All right, so where did the lie come in? Genesis 3:4. When the devil is talking to Eve, who had then been created, he said, "Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die." Now remember that Eve added actually a little bit. She said, God said, you know, that we're not to eat of it, we're not even to touch it. Now, in my view, as I think about that, she probably touched it first. She's probably like, okay, nothing happened, you know? And I believe that Satan was probably more than willing to allow her to believe that because nothing happened there, nothing was going to happen if she ate it. So it began with Satan. The devil spoke the first lie and it involved calling God a liar. He's not stopped since. He continues to want us to not feel we can confidently believe in God. As with Satan, many people don't simply tell lies, they embody lies. Satan literally believes his own lies. In the book of John, chapter 8, Jesus is talking to the religious folk, many of whom do not believe in him. We're going to read verse 42 of John 8 through verse 47. It says, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Not he birthed me, he sent me. I was somewhere, he brought me here. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. That is, he's his own source of information. For he is a liar and the father of it. So father is the beginning of it. So Satan is the beginning of these lies. Verse 45, but because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. So Satan told the first lie, totally believes his lies. He just totally is consumed by them. All right, so it didn't begin with God, began with Satan. Third bullet, it is ingrained in our fallen nature. It's ingrained in our fallen nature. How easy is it for us, if you're here and you're a Christian or you're watching and you're a Christian, how easy is it for us even to still lie? Now you're like, oh, Pastor, don't start that with me. I haven't lied in years. Okay. Somebody ever said to you, how you doing today? And you said, oh, I'm fine. I'm good. When you weren't? Liar. It's that easy. It's that easy to lie. I mean, someone says to you, hey, can you help me move on Saturday? And you're like, you know what? I think I have something on my calendar already. If I don't, I'm going to. How easy is it for us to lie? We get stopped by the police. Why were you speeding? Oh, sir, I've got a really good reason why. And we make up a story. What are you doing? You call somebody on the phone. Hey, what are you doing right now? Nothing. When we are. Lying involves not simply saying things that are not true. It involves telling half-truths. Ooh, it's getting a little closer to home now. It involves fabrication, that is, making up fictitious things. One definition is literally fictitious inventions. It's building a story based on lies. So it's ingrained in our nature, our fallen nature. It's natural. It's acceptable. It's convenient. And in some cases, it's encouraged. Do you know that even Muslims are encouraged to lie if it advances the cause of Islam? It's okay to lie as long as it advances the good that's going to come from people being brought under Islamic rule. Pretty crazy, right? So, the origin of lying. Number two, the reason for lying. Why do we lie? There's lots of reasons why we lie, but I'm going to narrow it down to using three different words that kind of really encapsulate why most of us lie. Common reasons include, first bullet, fear. Fear, that is, we fear the consequences of telling the truth. We fear the consequences. If I tell them the truth, when they say, does this dress make me look fat? Or whatever the case may be, right? They'll remove us from their inner circle. If they really, really hear the truth from us, we're not going to be part of the group, the in crowd. If I tell the truth, I won't get the job because on my resume, I feel like I've got to fudge a little bit of information. I've got to just expand a little bit on how many years I did and what I did, because if I don't, I won't get the job. Is this hitting home with anybody yet? But what we don't often think about in cases like that is that there's an honest person who then doesn't get the job simply because they were honest. So we deserve the job because we're a better person than them, even though we lied. So, if I tell the truth, you know, my dad's going to beat me in the next week. Well, he might, but lying is still not acceptable. So fear, we fear the consequence of telling the truth. Second bullet, image. We dread the thought of people knowing the truth. Well, if they really knew that, if they knew how that's how I felt, if they really understood, then I'd lose my reputation. They wouldn't think of me the way that they think of me now. I've got to lie to them. If they knew who I really was, they'd look down on me. They wouldn't see me in the same light. They might take me from my position at church. They might not call me with information anymore. Image, we dread the thought of people knowing the truth. Third bullet, beliefs. That is, we underestimate the fallout from failing to tell the truth. And it's so easy to get into a habit like that because we don't see the immediate consequences. We lie and nothing happens. No harm, no foul. No big deal. Nobody saw it. No one else knows. I'm not hurting anybody with this lie. It's just between me and myself. Even if we never get caught, though, our lies are costly. People can sometimes sense that something is wrong, even though they don't know what is wrong. But they can tell when you're being deceptive. As I was studying for this last week, I went to a site, and there was a person who worked for the FBI, and they were giving tips on how you can tell if someone is lying. And I'm thinking to myself, all of the liars in the world are also watching this video. And so they're going to make sure that they don't look down, or they don't look this way, or they don't touch their mouth, or they don't do all those things, you know? So we think that if no one knows, it doesn't matter. But lying, it affects us. We don't think it does, but it does. Even if the lie doesn't come out, it affects us in a number of ways. It can affect us physically. It can cause us to lose sleep. It can cause us to be irritable, to be anxious. It can cause some people to grind their teeth. It can impact us physically when we don't get enough sleep, when we're anxious. It impacts all of our relationships. It impacts our work capacity. Lying can affect us relationally, right? Extremely sensitive when we're criticized. Why are we like that? Because we're covering something up. Well, maybe they know. So we go over and above to try and show how good we are. The unfaithful person questions the faithfulness of the one they are deceiving. Well, why would you even question me about that? What's your problem? Well, you're the one that should be worried. You're the one that isn't being honest with me. So fear, image, beliefs. So the first letter of each of those spells the word what? Fear, image, beliefs. Fib. Do you see how I did that? It took me hours to work that out. All right, number three, the cost of lying, or the cost for lying. I'll give you three reasons why we shouldn't lie, because the cost is significant. Number one, we might lose our touch with reality. We might lose touch with reality, like that we're really operating with full knowledge and in truth. 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is talking about the latter times. Verse 1, he says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils." Here's the thing about being deceived. We don't realize it. We don't realize it. We're not in touch with reality. Verse 2, he says, "Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." So in this case, these are people that are being deceived into believing things, specifically about God, salvation, eternity, judgment. And they're telling these things as if they're true. They're not bothered anymore that it's a lie. I mean, most of us, when we lie, it bothers us, doesn't it? I mean, it's like, oh, I can't believe I just said that. Oh, I should take that back right now, but oh, I'm going to look really foolish. So we just eat it. We just swallow real hard. But it bothers us. But the more we lie, and the more we lie consistently, especially about very, very important things, the more it's kind of like a callus that gets developed on our hand or somewhere else, or like an area that might get burned on our body. In this instance, like seared with a hot iron. Like if an area of our body gets touched with a hot iron, we're going to have a major problem with that. But eventually it's going to somewhat heal, but that area is not going to be sensitive like it was before. And that's what happens when we lose touch with reality. We're not sensitive anymore to our sin, to what we're doing. Diane and I were watching a show, and I don't know why we do this before we go to bed, but we were watching a crime series, and it was about someone who had committed murder. So this was a college guy, and his girlfriend had broken up with him. I believe she was a cheerleader, and she ended up getting murdered. Somebody literally shot into her bedroom from one side of the room, then went to the other side of the outside of her house and shot through. So they obviously knew where her bed was at and where her head would be, and killed her. And they didn't know who did it. The police had suspects, but there was no real information that they could, you know, use to address this. And then the guy that did it basically said to two friends, "I've got a gun I've got to get rid of. This isn't a gun that was used to kill so-and-so. It's just a gun, and I just need to get rid of it." And when they first heard this, they're like, "Well, okay, yeah, we'll help him get rid of this gun," because they didn't think for a minute that he could do something like that. And then the police got involved, and so they ended up wiring these guys up so they could, you know, hear their conversation. And they literally were going to dispose of this weapon, and the police obviously had given them a code word. And once they used a code word, when they literally saw the gun, the police, of course, went and arrested this young guy, and he's charged with murder. But they right down to the last little bit, they were like, "There's no way. We don't believe. I mean, how can somebody live like that? How can somebody commit murder of somebody that they once were in a relationship with and go about living their life?" It's because their conscience gets seared. It's pretty crazy. So lying is a choice. When it's perpetuated, it becomes a lifestyle. And there's lots of people that are living the lifestyle of a habitual, consistent liar. Second, we might sacrifice our integrity. Heavy message tonight, isn't it? But we need to hear it, because we're just as prone to lying in many cases as our non-Christians, right? We might sacrifice our integrity. The word integrity means quality of being honest, completeness, wholeness, righteous character. We might sacrifice our integrity. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 5 says, "A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies." So faithful, word faithful there, you could say is trustworthy, trusting. A trusting person will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. So we end up playing a shell game, if you will. We hide things from other people, and when certain people are around, we just got to remember what we've said and what we've done, and we play this shell game to keep the truth away from people, not realizing that you can't lie your way out of a lie. Only the truth, Jesus says, will set us free. So we don't follow through on our promises. We continue to compromise more and more and more until finally we're a person that can't be trusted anymore. It's a terrible thing to lose your integrity. Once your integrity is lost, it's really hard to get it back. So, third most damaging consequence or cost is that we might pay for all eternity. If there's anybody here or somebody watching and you're not a Christian and you're a liar, and I guarantee all of us are, Revelation is a strong word for us. This is the end time. This is when God is basically dividing who's in heaven with him forever and who is lost. Revelation 21:5 says, "And he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega.'" That's the beginning and ending letters of the Greek alphabet. "The beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the river of life freely to him who thirsts." That's grace. God's willing to forgive all of us, any of us, of our sin. We have to admit that we're sinners and come to him. Then verse 7, he says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Verse 8, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." That is a serious, serious consequence. I mean, think about this. Think about the people God links together with liars. Like, we don't think of lying in the same vein as being a murderer. We just don't. But God links them here for us. He says it's a serious, serious thing to lie. It's a far worse offense than we believe, than we understand. God certainly proves it here. Another text we would look at would be 1 John chapter 5. This is one of my favorite places that talks about the assurance of our salvation. And I'm so grateful God gives us the assurance of our salvation, aren't you? That we don't have to wonder whether we're saved or not. Beginning at verse 10, 1 John 5. "He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." So the worst lie involves not believing that God sent his Son to die for us so that we can have eternal life. People who believe that lie are going to be damned forever. Forever. It's a big deal. So when people say there's multiple ways to God, not according to God's word. There's only one way. It's Jesus. Jesus had to come and die to pay for our sin. So lying is a serious, serious thing that may result in us having to pay for all of eternity in the lake of fire. All right, when's the last time we heard a sermon on hell? I mean, like a full-fledged, full sermon on nothing but hell, not just in passing. I can't tell you when the last time I preached it. Maybe I need to do that, as hard as it is. Okay, so number four, this is where I hope we're at, the alternative to lying. I would hope we would not want to lie. If you find yourself lying about certain things, I mean, if you're a Christian, you've got to be worried about that. It's like, man, I wish I could just stop doing this. I mean, you know, and sometimes it's just been going on for so long, and you've perpetuated that lie for so long and told it so for so long. It's like, I can't turn back now. But I believe that we can, and I believe there's some good reasons why we should. So the alternative to lying, number one, is live in the presence of God. You say, I do. Everybody does. Okay? Yeah, God knows he's in our presence, but do we? How differently would we act if we truly believed we were in God's presence? Every moment of every day. Here's how Paul put in Galatians chapter 1, verse number 20. He's talking about the time he spent with some of the early apostles, and he's just talking about his testimony. He says, "Now concerning the things which I wrote to you, indeed before God, I do not lie." Before God, I do not lie. So what he's basically saying is, I'm in God's presence. Why in the world would I lie? He knows if I am. So Think about that. There are people in my life, and I'm sure in your lives, that curb their behavior when in your presence. There are people that if they start to say a curse word in your presence, they'll stop themselves. Ooh, man, I almost said it. Or if they say it, they'll say, oh, I'm so sorry about that. There are people that curb their behavior, not just their words, but their actions in the presence of other Christians. Pastors, Christians, parents. But many of those same people have no problem with lying, bold-faced lying, in the presence of pastors and parents and Christians. Why is that? Why is it that we won't do some things, but we'll do other things in the presence of people that are Christians trying to live for God? It's because lies don't have a smell. You can't smell them like alcohol on a person's breath. You can't smell it like pot. You can't see it like the redness of somebody's eyes that's stoned on pot. And pot may be legal in America, but it's, in my estimation, it's still wrong to smoke pot. Unless you have a medical reason to use cannabis in a way that doesn't get you high, it's a sin. Amen or oh me, one or the other. All right, maybe we got some pot smokers here. I don't know. Anyways, right? No one can smell a lie. It's not like alcohol or other things. But what if we truly believed that God is always present with us? How differently would it be the next time we go to tell a lie? It's not simply thinking about God being present with us so that we catch ourselves, but because he's present to help us in that moment, not sin. He's right there with us. He wants to help us. What would happen if we were more aware of God's presence on a consistent basis? I guarantee I would sin less. I guarantee it. I would not be so prone to throw out what I would hope would be just little white lies and not even monstrous ones for sure. Paul, in essence, is saying God sees everything. And if I'm going to stand before him, he's going to judge me for those things that I did or said, even when I didn't think about him being present. So why not think about him being present every moment and not have to stand before him? Here's the deal. Sin will push us away from God's presence, or God's presence will push us away from sin. All right, so the alternative to lying, live in the presence of God. Second bullet, and we're almost done, and we've got some questions we're going to go through together, just us, not the folks online or watching the video, right? Live out of our identity in Christ. We have an identity in Ephesians chapter 4, also Galatians chapter 3. Paul, who is the author of both, talks about this idea of putting off the old man, the old self, and putting on the new man. That we're in Christ now. We're to take off the old ways, the old man, the old woman, and we're to put on Christ. We're to emulate Christ in our lives. All right. Again, our text, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, he says, therefore, put away lying. Put it on a shelf. Out of sight, out of mind. Don't even see it as an option. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We've all received God's grace and forgiveness. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 through 11, Paul says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. That's the old man. I used to be a habitual liar. I lied all the time growing up. I'm telling you, I lied to get approval. I lied to avoid punishment. I lied so much. And I'm grateful that God forgave me. But I can remember those days when lying was a consistent thing for me. Don't lie, since you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. So live out our identity. Would Jesus ever lie? No, then we should never lie. There's never a reason to tell a lie, even if there's a consequence for telling the truth. We should believe that God is going to give us the grace to endure whatever it is we face. So for those who want to live in God's presence and desire to bring glory to Him, lying is never, ever okay. It's unnecessary. It's harmful. It's something that distracts from people seeing Jesus in us. I'm telling you, when I catch somebody in a lie, it's like, man, okay, you know, this is not good. So why would we want to live a lie when Jesus says we can live in the truth and the truth will set us free? Amen? So we put on honesty like a coat. It's our identity. All right. So stop lying.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message delivered at Hope Community Church, located in Waterford, Michigan. We sincerely hope this message has encouraged you to begin a relationship with God or strengthen the one you already have. If we can assist you on your spiritual journey, please call the church office at 248-481-8240 or contact us through our online home at www.hopecommunitywaterford.net. Our church meets every Sunday at 10 a.m. and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. We would be honored to have you join us if you live in the area. Thanks again for listening.